this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry. My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
Way to keep it classy, Canada.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Make them pay.
With chemistry, you can melt ice. You can't control the pop if you don't control the pop. The button stopped working. I've had to press it so many times.
Toothpaste, Fenris wolf, and rotations per minute.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 50 of Three in the Box, the longest-running independent Minnesota Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Wednesday, November 5th, 2014. This is Aaron, and in tonight's episode, we talk about Thomas Vanek. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And next to me is Jive.
Hey.
And this week's guest is comedian and Wild fan Justin Caesar.
Good day.
Good day to you.
Hey. Well, I think that's a new one.
Trying to be fancy.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So before we get into things, I'd just like to remind you to follow us on Twitter. We are at 3 in the Box. It's the number 3 in the Box. Should we get to it?
Let's do this.
So over the past week, the Wild went 2-1 with a shootout win against the Sharks and a regulation stomping of the Stars, ending with a loss last night against the Penguins. Noteworthy events over the past week include Brodziak netting not just one goal, but two against the Sharks.
Who's this Brodziak character you're talking about?
It was Halloween, basically.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when you get to dress up and be someone you're not.
So why didn't we have Healy at
dressed
that
up
point?
As a player?
Exactly. Thomas Vanek, he got his first goal as a Wild player in the 10th game of the season.
Which was also the first power play goal.
One stat that I thought was great was that in his first four games with the Wild, Vanek had 13 shots on goal and just 1 point, which was an assist. Over the next six games, he had a total of three shots, and that netted him 7 points. That's one goal and six assists. So with Vanek, are we worried that he isn't providing the scoring touch that we were told we were to get? You know, he's playmaking with Brodziak somehow. but are we worried about that? I mean,
no, I'm not. One thing after the Dallas game, Lindy Ruff, the coach of the Dallas Stars, he had watching Vanek play. He goes, you know, he's due for a goal, and he goes, unfortunately, he's like, I saw it coming against us. But he goes, don't be surprised. He's like, he's just opening up. He's like, he's going to be a 25 to 30 goal scorer this season. Lindy Ruff gave him plenty of props on that post press conference after the game. And I agree. I think that he just needs to, once he starts going, I think he's going to go.
Well, you got to shoot the puck if you're going to score.
Yeah,
that's what it really boils down to.
You can't control a puck and control a puck.
You can't control the control the puck if you can't control the puck. You can't score the puck if you can't shoot the goal.
Right. That was the dumbest smart thing I've ever heard. I honestly think Vanek will start he'll start turning it on as soon as he's with someone, another playmaker, because obviously and I'm not trying to crap on Koivu here, but his entire career, he has been paired with top-end talent and has not produced. He has not helped make those players any better, you know, and right. It's been the same thing with Vanek. You put Vanek with someone else who can help him get better, and, you know, Vanek will score 25, 30 goals.
I've been preaching this for a while.
Am I the only one who agrees with you?
I appreciate that opinion coming in here. That's good.
This is a conversation that has been brought up many times with Koivu, you know, not being the playmaker, not scoring the goals.
Well, I mean, he's never going to be a goal scorer, but at the same point, he was a star on some really crappy Wild teams.
You know, he should be a 50-point guy, though. Right. You know, he should be a 20, 30, 50 guy, easy, agreed. You know? But they had him paired with Gabrick. He was no good with Gabrick. They paired him with Havlat. He was no good with Havlat. You know, and then they had him with Parise last year.
Nothing.
Nothing there. They had him with Vanek this year, and it's still nothing.
Right.
You know,
right.
The guy is just, he's not a number one center, and I have my doubts as to whether he's a number two center, frankly.
On a championship team, which this team looks like it could be, you know, he's basically playing third line now.
Well, he should be.
Yeah, right. You know. I mean, Granlund's obviously skipped above him on that. The problem is we don't have a well, we've got a ton of centers. We don't have a ton of talented right, centers.
Yeah. I mean, like, who are our other options?
Well, I mean, you got Holla, and Holla's good, but he's still young. He still makes a lot of gaffes.
Granny's still young, too.
But you can see his talent. Whereas,
you can see his talent. But...
Yeah, Brodziak, which is... Well, yeah. Well,
he's Brodziak. And you got Carter, who's definitely a fourth-line guy.
And you have guys like Coyle that might come in, but he struggles to be even a center. Mm-hmm. So, I mean... it's understandable why on this team he would be, you know, sitting on the second line. So.
I actually kind of like the line of Coyle, Koivu, and Zucker. I think it's fast, and you still have Koivu there to center it, you know, to actually play defense for those other two while they go wheel and deal.
I would love to see Zucker with Holla and just have two speedy guys together.
That would be like the fastest line they would have, you know?
Just burn them up, you know?
It'd be insane. I mean, how many two-on-ones you think you would see?
Well, and that says a lot also because Zucker, you know, this season, he's turned things around defensively.
Oh, absolutely.
Where he's not a liability like he was. Holla was already playing, you know, PK minutes last year. And he continues to this year. So, I mean, it just shows that Zucker, he's getting time on PK as well. He's turned things around, and he's also a threat for the shorthanded goals and stuff. And that's awesome, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even Nino can pick up the speed when need be. I mean, we saw that against Pittsburgh last night with his shorthanded goal.
Right.
Like, I mean, all of a sudden, where did he get that burst of speed from? I've never seen him.
And you look at our quote-unquote skill players now, and Koivu is, like, the slowest by far.
He really is. And part of it is, you know, his entire career we're told he won't cheat. Well, God damn it, I want to watch him cheat. Get down low once, you know, get below the circles and get dirty once in a while.
Right, but he doesn't do that.
Well, you got to be able to get back.
Yeah. That's the problem. You
know. Yeah.
And then, where did that 3-on-1 come in the... I can't remember what line was out there against Pittsburgh there where they had the 3-on-1 and scored the goal. I can't remember that.
Well, that was...
That was Pittsburgh's, like, third line.
Right. Yeah, it was. Right. It was Scuderi and... who the hell else was it? I don't remember. But that was created because the defenseman pinched and he didn't keep the puck in the
Prosser
zone.
Prosser did, yeah.
Yeah, Prosser pinched and he didn't keep it, so...
And Prosser, that's a whole other issue that we've got is, you know...
But if you look at that, that's the style that the Wild have been kind of playing a little bit more this year.
I'm actually excited to watch that. I love watching this activated D. It's so entertaining to watch.
And it was always irritating in the last few years. They'd just sit there at the blue line and pick their noses.
Right.
And it was boring. And, I mean, other fans would be like, they're going to play the trap, you know. And we weren't playing the trap anymore, but we're still boring.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most definitely.
Well, and that's the thing, though. With the pinching D, you got to, you know, your wingers and your centers, you got to rotate. And
right.
You know, they've got to be there to come back and cover as well.
And you know what? Normally they have been. It was just in that case, he got caught in a bad position.
And it's going to happen once in a while.
Well, I will take that.
That's a risk you take.
I will take that risk if we get to watch, you know, Marco Scandella scored, you know, 10 goals this year.
You know, I was talking to a one Mr. Nick Rath that I think we all know last night, and he goes, congratulations on the loss. I'm going, what the hell are you talking about? He goes, you know, the Wild needed that because they've been playing against teams that they've just basically been manhandling all season long. Mm-hmm. Now it actually kind of puts them in their place, and they need to figure out what they actually need to do to be a number one hockey team. And thinking about it, I'm going, you know, that might make some sense because they actually finally played against a team that played their style of hockey and put them in their place.
A little slap in the face.
Yeah.
Well, that, and I think
egg on the face big time.
Suter said the same thing after the game as they took playing for granted at home.
Absolutely. You know?
Yeah. They're the last unbeaten home team at home team until last night. So obviously they've been pretty well, but you know, you're going to lose some at home. I mean, that's just a fact of 82-game schedules.
You're not going to win 41 games at home.
I tweeted early in the game at PantsBoyUSA, if you want to follow me. but I tweeted early in the game.
No. What was that? You need shameless.
Sorry. At PantsBoyUSA.
All right. We need some shameless self-promotion going on.
I'll dig it. I dig it. But I tweeted early in the game that the Pens were doing to the Wild what the Wild had been doing to other teams all season.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Absolutely.
They absolutely were more aggressive, they were faster than the Wild, and they were winning the battles, which is what I was used to seeing from the Wild this season.
The Wild didn't show up until the last, 15 minutes maybe?
Right.
I wouldn't even give him a full period's worth of credit on that one.
But it's actually pretty funny talking about...
It's sad, but...
You know, talking about how, you know, the Penguins were faster.
I don't know if they were faster.
They were playing faster.
Watching the Dallas game, it was pretty interesting, because I'm sitting there watching it going, oh no, the Wild are getting into a track meet with the Stars. And in past years, you'd go, oh crap, the Wild don't want to get in a track meet with anyone. But this year, we're now the team that other teams don't want to get in a track meet with.
Absolutely.
You know, and totally flips this team on its head, you know.
You know what, and Pittsburgh did put them in their place, because they played the Wild's game and they matched them.
Yeah.
And they did exactly, Caesar, you're right, they did exactly to the Wild what the Wild have been doing to other teams.
And they have the personnel to do it.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. They definitely do. Yeah.
Although, you know, we minus an assist, we kept Crosby off the board, but that was an assist on an empty net.
Right.
But, you know, getting two goals from their third line hurts.
That really does.
That's what we do to other teams.
Yeah. That is, because we think about it. We've been having Zucker score, you know, or I guess Zucker is how they say it. I always say Zucker.
This is a good point, because so many people are saying Zucker, or I think on the Wild broadcast they say Zucker.
No, in the Wild broadcast they say Zucker.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I went back and watched.
Was this the radio broadcast? Or
no, it's a TV.
Fox Sports.
It's Fox Sports. Those stupid dudes.
So I went back and watched the his ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, and he says Zucker in the video. So I don't know what's. I'm pretty sure the NHL pronunciation guide says Zucker in it too. So who knows?
Yeah.
Like Zydlitsky now.
Right.
when he decided he wanted his name pronounced correctly. After 10 years in the league, yeah, now you start correcting everybody. That's
kind of like Parise.
Yeah.
It was Parise.
Parise, yeah.
And now he's just Parise.
Well, you know, at least it's, you know, Gabrick first came up and it was Gaborik.
You put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Right. No, when he first got drafted, it was Marion Gaborik. Just like.
Well, then we go the other way, like. Bogard, they say Bogard when he got drafted.
He got Bogarded.
And that's his actual last name is Bogard, but he somehow adopted Bogard, and that's all we know him as.
Because everybody wants to yell, boo.
Well, you know, and as Minnesota fans, you can tell if the people are actually booing or cheering or just wanted him out on the ice.
I remember back when Boogie was still playing, that team was so boring. The most exciting thing was when Boogie would fight.
Yeah. And he could fight. He wasn't just a punching bag.
No,
you know?
Dude. I remember. I was watching the game where he caved Todd Fedoruk's face in.
Oh God,
that was just
and
insane.
And then the following season, Fedoruk's on our team, and they're in the locker room together.
Oh, poor Fridge.
Poor Fridge.
What happened to that guy, anyways?
Didn't he do like the Cotton Eye Joe dance and then died or something like that?
I'm pretty sure like someone else picked him up to be a. I think someone else picked him up to be a fighter, but he wouldn't fight. And that's pretty much, if that's what you're going to do, and you're not going
to like
do
Konopka.
It. Yeah.
Well, Konopka would fight, but Konopka would just get punched.
He was awful at it.
Hey, so I'm going to drop my mitts and, you know, use my face as a punching bag.
Punch me in the face, please.
Thank you. May I have another?
Will you please just punch me in my face to make my team excited that I'm getting punched in the face?
Go team!
Look, I'm going to go sit down for 5 minutes. I've been on the ice for 30 seconds. Just let me go sit down.
So
didn't you see me win that face off? Come on.
You mean face off? Sorry. Yeah.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
So with that, over the past week, the Wild finally get a power play goal. On their 29th opportunity of the season, they went all October without getting one power play goal. They finally get one November 1st. Vanek also gets his first goal of the season that game. Is this going to be a team that does their best 5-on-5 or is shorthanded? Or what's the deal? I mean, come on. Can we do something on the power play?
Well, you figure it's only a matter of time before they start figuring it out. I know they got another scoreless streak going again because They still only have, I think, one power play goal. But
two.
Oh, two.
They got two that
game. But they have as many shorthanded goals as they do power play goals.
Now they do, yes.
Right.
But they've also given up one shorthanded.
It's true. Our power play is diseased.
So we're like, what, one for like 34 now? If you take away the two.
So the power play is now the Ebola play?
Woof. Too soon. Too soon. they're going to figure it out, right? I mean,
I would hope so.
Someone's got to balance out Pittsburgh's 40% power play percentage, you know?
I don't know if they'll ever. They'll probably be between 10 and 15% this year.
Sure.
They'll never be better than that, but.
Kind of a start, it's tough to climb back from that. I mean.
I mean, they were also leading the league for most shots on goal for a power play. I mean, so what's not clicking here right now?
The puck's not going in the net.
I don't know what it is, but like when I watch them cycle, it's like they're not clearing lanes. They're not getting clear lanes to shoot on. So they're throwing it on the goalie, but they're cycling it around like it goes up high, and then what they typically do is like someone throws it into the center, like down in the slot, but it's not quick enough to where they're going to beat the goalie, or the goalie has to move. They got to get the goalie moving laterally if they want to get a goal in.
The cross ice passes to, get him moving side to side. And
they've had a few opportunities where it looked like they could make something happen, but, hits a crossbar something like that.
And that's how Vanek got his goal against Dallas, though, was with the cross ice.
Right.
Exactly it. You got to get the goalies moving. You cannot let the goalie just sit there and watch you cycle the puck.
Either got to get him moving or screen him.
Yeah,
and we don't have many guys that want to get in front of the goalie.
We don't necessarily have the size guys that we used to that can stand in front of the goalie and screen him.
Yeah, Andrew Vernet's directing our power play instead of standing in front of the goalie using his ample backside to guard him.
I mean, we used to have the guys that could do that. But
every team though still needs that guy that's going to stand in front of there, because the goalies these days they're all very, very talented,
and they're getting bigger just like the players are,
and they take up most of the damn net.
By blocking the net, I really think you helped your team.
Exactly. So, I mean, when they're taking up most of the net, and all they have to do is shift over a step or this way or that way, and they're covering the net. They either have to make the net bigger, like a soccer goal, or we set somebody out there in front of them and block their line of sight.
I kind
of
thought Coyle had the big body that might be his job, but it doesn't seem like he wants to do that.
No.
Well, the other thing you could do is...
You get like Nino doing a little bit of that and getting into the dirty spots, but he doesn't seem to be doing that on the power play. So
you could just have Granlund, apparently keep the goalie down on the ice and get a no goal call.
Put him down, right.
Yeah, because that made a lot of sense.
I don't even know.
Well, but in all fairness, I think the Wild against Dallas had a goal turnaround because of goalie interference, and it was incidental at best, So it's I don't get too wound up about that,
Yeah. I think that's one of my least favorite rules, is that the play is called dead when the referee intends to call the play dead, not when he actually calls the play dead or when he calls the whistle. That's one of the most bizarre interpretations of a rule.
Really, I felt like we should have stopped this show like 5 minutes ago. So
I don't know. Does Toronto allow
this?
So those of you that are listening, we're talking about the no goal call against Pittsburgh last night. Yeah. That Koivu had, and that the puck clearly crossed the line.
Yep.
But that's not why they reviewed the play. They reviewed the play on an unreviewable play of goalie interference, or whether it was.
So why'd they review the play?
Yeah, exactly. If it's an unreviewable play,
and this is my point, and my Pittsburgh friend Mr. Adam Coulon, who was on our show last week, does not. Him and I have been going back and forth quite a bit, and I'm going, that was a momentum killer, because the Wild had the momentum going, and that 2 minutes just gave Pittsburgh basically a break same point. Instead of just, if they're going to call it a no goal, call it a no goal, stop the play, do a face-off.
Yeah, it really seemed to kill the Wild's momentum there.
Let's get everything going again. Instead, you got a 2-minute timeout for Pittsburgh, and the Wild's momentum goes away.
Was Pierre in the house?
Fortunately, no. God, I could have only imagined what that guy would be jibber-jabbering about during that whole thing. But
it's awfully hard to talk with Crosby's cock in your mouth.
Hold on.
Just saying that gave me a semi.
But really, I mean, that was for a play that should not have been even reviewed. I would have been happy with them just calling a no goal, even though the goal crossed the line, stopping the play. But they even lost, what, like 6 seconds off of that, I think? Eight yeah. seconds before the ref blew his whistle.
Right.
I know you were ready to say something. I just totally felt that, but you know.
I don't know. I think it was a BS all around, personally. You know, I will agree with the no goal call because of the interference, but play should have just stopped and they should have just dropped the puck again.
Right.
And let everything continue playing.
Yeah, if that was your call and it's not reviewable, then why are we reviewing it? I mean,
you know,
I think that is the common consensus around.
Even though the puck did cross the line.
It did.
As fast as it happened, I'm not going to argue with his judgment of calling a no goal on that because, it barely crossed. You got a black glove.
You had to slow it down to see it.
Just barely cross. I just barely nutted in her.
It's still crossed.
Sorry.
That's what she said.
Well played. But you got a black glove with a black puck going across. Very high speed, very high rate. I can see how he would maybe not see the puck cross the line. Yeah. But the fact that they spend 2 minutes reviewing a non-reviewable play is pretty bad.
I agree. So, well, with that, so the Wild did in that game last night, they suffered their fourth loss of the season.
Yep.
So their record now is 7-4-0. Now, that's not too shabby of a record.
No, hardly.
We're well above 500 there. But that's only good enough to get us, what are we? We're in fifth place?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fifth in the Central.
Yep. So, fifth place in the Central Division. So, our competition obviously appears to be pretty fierce here. What do you guys think the Wild's chances are of making the playoffs?
You know, here's the thing. We've all been talking about how awesome the Wild has been playing this season. So I don't see them not making the playoffs.
Okay.
But it's going to be a fight every single night, just like
Definitely.
It is all the time. And I think the real surprise here is I did not think Nashville was going to come back. I mean, but now you've got a healthy Pecorine.
Yeah.
You've got James Neal scoring nightly. You know, I mean,
everyone thought you take him out of Pittsburgh and he turns into a pumpkin, you know.
Yeah, you know, and it's a completely different team now.
Well, I think it'll be better the more teams that play in Anaheim and L.A. that tend to get a disease that takes all you half your bench.
That doesn't help things very much. But.
Well, I don't think we have to go back for a while, so we'll be okay.
Well, and you got to keep in mind, though, that we're in fifth place, but the teams in front of us also have, most of them have a couple games on us.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but we're only 3 points out of first.
Right.
You know, St. Louis is at 17 points. We're at 14 points, you know, with a game or two in hand.
It's so very early on in the season. I mean, I don't even think that this should even be a topic until we get at least through December.
And you look, we've got four losses. Only one of them was by more than a point. So we've the games that we've lost, they've been winnable.
And two of the games that we lost, all three of the previous games that we lost before Pittsburgh – dominated the game.
Right.
You know, but,
except for the third period against the Rangers.
And what
yeah, exactly.
And what counts in the end though is what's in the standings.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it doesn't matter how much you dominate a game, how many more shots you had than the other team. It's the goals that matter at the end.
That's what does count.
Our power play has had a lot of shots on net. Should we, our power play is pretty awesome then, right?
Yeah, phenomenal. Yeah.
Right. So, but at any rate, I mean, my point in bringing this up is this: if you look at it, we do. We have some outstanding competition in our division. And
is just, anyone else just surprised just Winnipeg is up as high as they are?
Well, I would flip that and go, is anyone surprised that Colorado is as bad as they are?
I'm not.
Right? That,
actually,
that is the bigger surprise, I think, is how low Colorado is sitting right now.
I was
now.
Kind of expecting this from Colorado.
I was expecting them to regress, but they were top of the West last year. So
well, think about it. You've got like probably three or four kids going through their sophomore slump right now.
Right. True.
There is that.
So do you think that Colorado will stay at the bottom of the division?
No, I think they're going to get out of it. I think they're going to pull ahead, and I think they're going to be good competition against the Wild.
Right. We'll see. We'll see. Waz. We'll see how God damn it, I can't think of the word. His motivational skills. We'll see.
Balls on the table.
His balls on the
balls
table.
On the
we'll
table.
See if he needs to break some more plexiglass to get his team to listen to him.
Right.
I want to see the Wild play Colorado again in the playoffs just to watch Wah cry again.
just to see him melt down.
He'll remind you that he has two Stanley Cup rings and doesn't give a crap about what you say.
That's okay. As long as he keeps losing to the Wild in the playoffs.
He's got that part down.
Right,
so.
Yeah, boy, he's really got that nailed.
He is a pro. So, yeah.
So, yeah, Vanek again.
Vanek.
It's a Vanek week. I almost think we should have like a Vanek White. Like
you should, like, you should
Vanek
you
White.
You guys should have a Sounders. Like, we're going to talk about Vanek for 10 minutes now.
You know,
we love like, Vanek.
We need a Vanek White, like, changing letters for us. So he's back in national news again about being involved in gambling, money laundering, outfit. I don't know. Should we be concerned about him losing him to further legal troubles? He technically did nothing wrong other than, you know, sign over his check from the Islanders.
Do you take a second party out of town back post-dated check
for a quarter of a million,
for a quarter of $1 million to pay off my gambling debts?
So you know he bet on some football games, which technically is not wrong
according to the
NHLPA contract. You're allowed to gamble as long as it's not
on NHL games,
on hockey games.
Yeah. Is it any hockey games or just NHL games?
It might be NHL. It could be. I
thought it was just NHL games.
I think you're right. It's just NHL.
It might just be NHL. Anybody see anything else coming from this?
You know, what my real question is what bank is accepting a $250,000 check second party?
Signed over by Thomas Vanek.
Okay, but also, what the shit? Why doesn't he have direct deposit?
Yeah, that's a good question. It was from the Islanders.
Does Wang still own the team?
I think so. Did he sell it?
I have no idea if he sold it. I just know like Nassau's falling apart.
Well, I know they were planning on moving to Brooklyn at one
They
point.
Are in Brooklyn, and yeah. It's terrible.
What is it? Can it be worse than Nassau Coliseum?
Their scoreboard is not centered over the ice. Because the stadium is built for basketball.
Oh, this is they're in the Nets stadium.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So,
right on.
So the ice is off to the center, off of center, and so the scoreboard is like right above the blue line. It is ridiculous looking. You look at it and you go, that there shouldn't be hockey there. That's stupid.
Well, you know they're playing for what, Jay-Z or something like that, or who owns the.
The Nets are owned by, like, Jay-Z and some Russian oil tycoon.
Yeah.
Match made in heaven.
Wait. So, you get a hockey
team.
We
hooked up on Match.com.
He's like, I got 99 problems, but Crimea ain't one.
So you get a hockey team that's playing in an arena owned by a rapper and the Russian conglomerate. You'd think they'd be able to come to terms on something about getting the scoreboard centered.
Well, the basketball stadium was built when Wang thought he could still get a stadium for himself or he's going to move the team. So that's why. They were just kind of shoehorned into it, though.
And now it's the Metrodome of Brooklyn.
So apparently...
Wait a minute. On the subject.
What's wrong with the dome?
What's not there anymore for one.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with it now, right?
But back to the topic. I'm not worried about Vanek. Honestly, it sounds like he was the government informant or witness. So he may have gotten a deal, so he's not getting prosecuted.
And the NHL or and the NHL office is hands off the entire thing. It's like they don't even care.
I think what it sounds like is the guy who's getting incarcerated, his lawyer is more trying to make a name for himself by pulling him into it.
And slander Vanek a little bit in the process of it.
And Vanek and his agent / lawyer, like, look, he signed over a check. He had nothing to do with money laundering.
Right.
He was trying to pay off his debt to this bookie.
By the way, $1 million. $1 million he bet, or lost, rather, betting on football games. What? Why? What are you... Are you in, like, the worst eliminator league ever? You know?
Well, he is Austrian, so, I mean, how much does he really know about football?
he was betting on the Vikes.
I like that team.
I got $1 million on Minnesota winning the Super Bowl.
That didn't work out so well for them.
No.
Hey, but if they would have won, I bet he would have been...
Maybe that was the year that...
Make it rain.
You know what? Maybe.
Make it rain, but not directly into my account.
I'm thinking that might have been the year that Favre was playing for us, and New Orleans put
a bounty on
Favre. So I'm thinking the guys that he had placed the bets with had talked to New Orleans to take out Favre.
That's a conspiracy.
That's a really great three that's easily disprovable.
Come on.
Because Vanek played all of 3 months for the Islanders last year.
I'm trying to go deep here.
Try harder.
Just saying that gave me a semi.
Oh, boy.
So,
are we done with Vanek?
Well, we're talking about injuries, so, bounties, so...
Yeah. So, the Wild, obviously, are battling the injury bug right now. Matt Cook hasn't played since the Boston game with a, quote-unquote, lower body injury. Spurgeon lost during the San Jose game with an upper body injury. It looked like he... Maybe a shoulder injury because he took a really kind of awkward fall or on a hit. It wasn't a dirty hit.
He's a small guy, too.
Yeah. Parisi went out after the second period against Pittsburgh last night with an upper body injury.
Non-specific.
And now Ballard has been out for a while now is being diagnosed with the mumps.
Yeah, then he got in Anaheim or L.A.
Well,
that's because they aren't vaccinating their kids out there. That's the problem.
Well, it's illegal.
I blame Jenny McCarthy.
That's who I blame.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancer, so we're not going to give you vaccinations.
And now you get swollen jaw.
Twice the size.
And that's what's really weird is that Folan also had the swollen jaw, but he didn't have mumps.
No.
So, he probably had mumps, too. He had to have.
Russo was saying he didn't, though.
How does that even work?
what about all the St. Louis players that were out?
I don't know.
Do they have mumps also?
I think actually some of them did. I think Russo did say that some of them had mumps.
All right.
So now they're like checking with the rest of the team. And while Ballard's quarantined,
is everybody up on their MMRs?
I think
who has not been vaccinated yet.
But Ballard's got kennel cough, I think. So
he's too old to have kennel cough.
He's like 500 in dog years.
So, what's going on with these other teams though that have been playing in Anaheim and LA? I haven't heard anything else other than St. Louis and Minnesota.
Well, that's because we went through it about the same time.
Right.
And so I think they probably went through and disinfected it.
Right.
No, they had Disney on Ice go through right before.
That's what it was. It was Elsa came through and started wiping her lady parts on everything.
I think that's a show title right there.
Yeah.
Elsa wiping her lady parts.
So, obviously, we've got some gaps to fill. Granny's going to be taking Parisi's role on the top line, but that's obviously not going to solve everything. What do we think the options are to fill these voids? Especially, you look at Spurgeon. We got Prosser up there, and Prosser isn't Spurgeon.
Prosser was looking ugly.
Right.
Well, I mean, they called up Blum, and I like Blum. I don't think he's been given a fair shot.
Right.
Anywhere he's been.
No.
So I would actually like to see him get an extended audition. That's just my thought for replacing Spurgeon anyway.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I don't see him as any more than the third line.
Oh, as a third pairing guy?
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, agreed. You know, he probably hasn't been given an extended period of time.
And maybe he hasn't earned it, you know, and that's his own fault.
Yeah, but that takes care of our defensive. But what about our offensive lines?
And we got issues there. I mean,
we got some big, big spots to fill.
I mean, Veiu is fine, I guess, on the fourth line, but he's...
He's a fourth liner.
At best.
A career fourth liner, right. Yeah.
Yeah, he's splitting time between the American League and a fourth line somewhere, as he should be.
Remember when he was our third line guy? Remember that?
He was so great back then.
He really was. He was like the flying tomato. He was fun.
You know, I think I'd rather be a fourth line NHL guy than sitting here talking with you guys.
What? Duh.
Take that.
Apparently. Oh. You know?
But I mean, like, who's left down in Iowa? Is there anything down there?
And we're pretty thin, especially forward wise. We're pretty thin.
Yeah,
I mean, like Brucier is he even playing in the NHL this year?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. No. And who's the other, like, Zach Phillips? He was our other first round pick. Is he playing down there?
I believe he is.
Is obviously he's not ready to come up.
We've got a lot of guys that aren't ready.
Yeah. I mean, like, so people like to talk that this team is deep, but they're only so deep. Right. You know, I mean, after you get through your first 19 guys, there's a pretty deep, steep drop off.
Right.
We're sitting pretty thin on forwards. I mean, we've got some solid first, second, third lines, but after that, it gets pretty
hairy.
Thin.
Is there anyone you guys would like to see picked up?
I mean, we've got Jordan Schroeder that we could bring up. But he's not going to do a whole lot. Cody Almond.
These are all fourth line guys, man.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's what we got to fill.
Yeah. The one thing is that we actually are going to probably have depth pretty soon here is it sounds like Harding's back on the ice and skating. So we might have unintentional depth there, which is crazy because now Kemper's
red hot, man.
You're not starting Backstrom. What are you going to do with, you know, Harding if he's healthy and back? You know.
You know. Well, something has to be done because you can't play Kemper the next.
No, but here's the other thing too is you can't. You know, you don't want to send down Kemper because he's playing too well.
Right.
You can send down Kemper. With
He did get a one-way.
It's one-way, but we still have to pay him if he goes.
That's right. But he's still in his. You know, he can still be sent down without having to go through waivers.
Exactly. Yep.
But you can't put Backstrom on waivers.
Nope.
Because Harding's health situation is so tenuous, you don't know when you're going to need Backstrom again.
Right.
You
need Briz back.
There is always Briz.
I'm sure he's still a free agent.
But
somewhere.
Did you also see how awful he played in the preseason? And that's the preseason. And he was abhorable.
Yeah, you know why?
After because he just got done sitting on the beach drinking Corona all summer.
Yeah, that's
long.
I mean, and I guarantee you, in the month or so that we cut him till now, he's been doing the same damn thing. You know, it's not like he's been in a gym somewhere taking shots off his legs.
No, he's been taking shots off his breasts. <90. laughs> Oh, yeah, apparently you missed that episode when we talked about Briz coming back going, oh, so did you train all summer? No. I went on vacation with my family.
But he did, in fairness, he did say, skaters, it's easy because you skate around and you shoot at a net. Goalies, it's harder to get a group of guys to go shoot at you during the offseason.
This is true.
You know.
Well, if you live in Florida, it sure is, but not if you stayed up here.
Yeah, I still want Briz back. I think we all do.
I want you back. Humongous big.
Humongous.
Universe is so humongous big.
So, you know, looking at Iowa's roster, though, I mean, we got Brett Sutter.
He's been a washout everywhere he goes. He's like the least of all the Sutters.
Mentioned Zach Phillips, Cody Almond.
Oof. And Cody's a guy, you know, he could come in probably play a third or fourth line, you know, for you. But I don't think he's a guy you want there permanently.
No.
I don't really see much else. I think we might be kind of screwed.
Yeah, we've got no depth. I mean, beyond our immediate team, which is fine if we're healthy, but, you know, things are falling apart. You know?
Well, who were the final cuts from camp? Because remember, they were talking like maybe all the competition was with defensemen. You know,
well,
they were talking about maybe Folin and Dumba don't make the team.
I'm just looking at Iowa Wild's roster right now.
Well, that would be the one depth we have is Kiernan. He looked all right during the preseason.
I would actually like to see Kiernan.
I mean,
he was the lead. What was it? The Finnish league. He was the top scorer in the Finnish league last year.
We need more Finns.
And we do.
Finnesotans, baby.
Finnesotans.
And he was speedy as all hell during the preseason. He'd be a good one if we really need it, but they're not going to call him up to play fourth line minutes.
No.
Or be a healthy scratch. I mean, that's just a given. So.
No, or you could ruin his career by calling him up and setting him on the left wing of Koivu.
Look, you want to fail?
Look, you want to fail in the NHL or you want to succeed in the AHL? I don't know. What are you?
We're going to put you with our captain. Let's see how you do.
Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu. So.
Wow, that was pretty harsh, Aaron.
I don't know. I thought it was funny.
Well, so did I, but it's still pretty harsh.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I think we are pretty low on depth right now as far as forwards go. And ironically, I think this is the first year we've actually had a good solid line of centers.
All right. So with that, we got a kind of a weird upcoming week here. Three road games. Senators are tomorrow. We got the Canadiens on Saturday, and then, as we mentioned earlier, the Devils on Tuesday.
At least we're getting more than two games a week now, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, because now Bettman says, hey, the Wild had a bunch of days off, so let's cram their schedule now.
At least we haven't had much for back-to-backs, so.
Yet.
Yet. Yeah, they're coming. So I think it's time to talk game of week. So last week's winner, I was not here, but the game of the week was what?
It was Penguins at Wild. Penguins here.
Yeah. And we had
Wild at home. It's a sure win, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sure win, Williams.
What?
Wow.
Come on, really?
Right. Hey, you can make all the fun of me you want, but guess who picked the right winner?
It'd be you.
I nearly got the goal total right.
Almost.
Close.
If it weren't for that empty netter at the end.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jive picked the Pens, and Adam, our guest last week, he also picked the Pens. That
he was a little he overshot on goals.
Yeah, he said there was gonna be 11 total goals, which is wow, that's pretty amazing there.
Yeah.
So that puts us Jive at 5 points overall in the season. I'm at 2 points. Kenny and our guests are tied at one. So Kenny's last place, so he gets to pick the game of the week this week.
I'm gonna go with Wild at Devils, and I'm gonna go with the Wild winning with 6 goals.
And I, too, am going with the Wild winning, also with 6 goals combined.
And I feel bad because I've picked right every week before this, and I've always bet against the Wild. So I'm just...
You're an asshole.
I'm just going to... I'm going to have to go with the Wild this week, so hopefully they get a win there. So I'll go with the Wild, and I'll take them with 7 total goals.
I guess I'm going to also take the Wild thing as it's the Devils, and they no longer have Brodeur or Parise. So, yeah, I'm taking the Wild.
Well, Parise.
Touche. I'll go 5 total goals on a 4-1 win.
And it should be noted that the Devils actually are second in the Metropolitan Division right now.
By the way, the Metropolitan Division is the coolest name of all the divisions.
Really?
All the conferences. Yeah, man. It's the only one with any sort of personality.
Yeah, because if you're Metro, it works out just fine.
Well, they do have the Canadians.
It is the division of Crosby, so, yeah.
Well, if you look at his crustache, yeah, I can see Metro.
Crustache!
Oh, boy.
Wow.
So, I think we've exhausted this horse.
Which one?
I don't know. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. So I'm going to wrap this thing up. When I'm not live tweeting Wild Games 4-3 in the box, and that's 3 in the box on Twitter, you can find me on Twitter.
The number 3.
You can find me on Twitter at AaronGNP. And lastly, blatant plug for my band, Pinrot, which you can find at pinrot.com. Kenny.
Yeah, and when I'm not here, apparently Ooga Booga, I eat poopy diapers is what my script says, but... you can find me on Twitter at RottenK999.
Jive.
Yeah, and you can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. You'll also catch me hanging out with these guys, you know, causing trouble, making some tunes, making, yeah.
Best plug ever.
Best plug ever. See, I like this guy. He's in my corner.
Someone has to be.
Thank you.
Caesar, how can we reach you?
Well, you can always follow me on Twitter, at PantsBoyUSA. Otherwise, you can see some shorts I've done. Go to ThirstyEyeShorts.com. I would recommend watching A Hard Day or Deathbed. Deathbed, we won some awards for the Minnesota Z Fest Film Fest. So.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Right on.
Minnesota C Fest?
Z Fest.
Okay. Zed, if you're in England, I guess.
That's awesome. It for me. Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Hey, we loved having you on. Hopefully we get you back later in the season, and we'll do some more of this.
Cool.
All right.